The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message.
Well, good morning. I have a story to share with you. This story is called The House. Once upon a time, there was a family who lived in a land far, far away. They lived in a small farming village with beautiful rice fields all around them. The Gwing family, the mom, the dad, the brother, and the sister lived together in a house. Now, their house didn't have glass in the windows like we have, and their door was a piece of cloth. Over the years, the piece of cloth had worn to shreds. The wind blew through the openings, the foundation was very bad, and the roof leaked when it rained. Even pigeons would fly into their house. One day, a whole lot of pigeons flew in, and the mom looked at the dad and said, "I don't think we can live in this house anymore. There are too many pigeons, and it is not safe or healthy." "But where can we live?" the son said. "We are just poor rice farmers. There are no new homes for us." "Oh," the father said, "you are forgetting. We are very hardworking people. And I heard about this organization called Habitat for Humanity, that they might be able to help us build a house." Well, so the family went to Habitat for Humanity. And guess what? They said yes, they would help them. Now the family would have to save some money, and they would also have to help build their new home. Well, they were all excited. One day, some people showed up. They didn't know who these people were. They started shoveling dirt. Who were these people? Oh, why would they come and help them? Well, they found out they were from a church in a town far, far away, Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. Well, one day, a load of sand came and bags of cement. A man from the village came with bricks, lots of bricks, and he dumped them on the ground. Oh, bricks everywhere. Well, those people took those bricks, and they picked them up one by one and stacked them in nice, neat rows. There were a lot of bricks. Then the people took the sand and bags of cement and poured it on the ground. They took buckets of water and stirred it with their shovels. They used sturdy shovels with bamboo handles. Soon the house had a foundation. Then they took the mortar that they had mixed and the bricks that the villager delivered, and they started to build walls of the new home. They did this over and over again, and the people got really, really tired. Every day, though, those people came back, and they worked hard every day, and soon they had more walls. They got higher and higher, and the family could tell they were really going to have a new house. One day, the people came and put ribbons and balloons on the house, and some other people from the village came and talked, and everyone celebrated, oh, this new home for the family that folks from far, far away had helped build. Then, poof, the people were gone. Everyone was sad. Oh, there were lots of tears. A while later, more people came. These people had a name. They were called skilled workers. And they finished the house. Well, we have a happy ending to our story. The Gweng family moved into their new home with glass windows, solid doors, strong walls, a roof that did not leak, and no pigeons, and are living happily ever after. Would you like to say a prayer with me? Dear God, thank you for all the blessings we have in our lives. Thank you for a warm home, for family, for friends, and for keeping us safe. Amen. Thank you.
Well, this morning we want to talk about a modern-day miracle for a family in Vietnam. First, I'd like to introduce you to the Nguyen family who live in the village of Son Hoa, where you can see where the marker is located there in northern Vietnam. This is a rice farming community, and Mr. Nguyen was born there in 1962, and he spent his early years growing up in the shadow of the war with America. As a teenager, Mrs. Nguyen helped to build trails for the war effort in western Vietnam. It was there that she injured her leg, resulting in a permanent disability, and she was exposed to Agent Orange. After the war, the Luang and Mayan were married. Local friends and relatives helped to build, friends and relatives helped them build a house to get started on married life. A few years later, a daughter was born to them. Their daughter is now 25 years old and has developmental issues, along with difficulty walking. Their son, who's now 17, is a healthy teenager just finishing secondary school. This is a very poor family. Even in a fairly poor agricultural area, they are very poor by comparison. Their home, which is about 25 years old now, not that old, but it is crumbling. The walls are crumbling and are not likely to take the weight of a tile roof that's on top that leaks when it rains. And the rainy seasons are just ahead of them. So they looked for help. They were desperate, and they first turned to the Communist Party, and this is not something the Communist Party deals with there. So they looked for local agencies, and eventually they were put in touch with Habitat for Humanity, and there they were selected as a partner family. But they didn't know at the time is that 8,000 miles away in Fort Collins, Colorado, there was a church group looking for a family in northern Vietnam that was in need of help, because we knew where we wanted to go, we just didn't know who we were going to help. We were interested in Vietnam because for some of us during our early years, the war had a tremendous impact, and we wanted to give back to the country that was once considered our enemy. So we packed our suitcases and we stuffed them with all sorts of supplies and materials for Habitat. But most importantly, we packed an eagerness to pursue this adventure together. So on October 16th, help arrived for the Nguyen family. This is the site, the building site that we saw when we arrived. It was raining. That wasn't so great. We looked at the building site itself, and we were even less enthusiastic. But we wanted to pursue this. And in the next few presentations, we will talk about what Habitat does best, and that's building. We're going to talk about building family relationships, building the new home itself, building community interactions, and building teamwork. First, I'd like to introduce Erica Nosikoff, who's going to talk about building family relationships.
So going on a Habitat build, whether it's local or whether it's global, it's about building the house, but it's about building relationships and getting to know the family as well. So as Jerry pointed out, they were a family of four. They had two more children that were a little bit older who weren't living there anymore. But how do we get to interact with them and meet them when we are from, we speak English and they speak Vietnamese. So we had a translator with us for some all of the time, but what we tried to do is make an intentionally go into the house, especially where the mother and the daughter were, because of her, the mother's physical disabilities. She was mostly lying down on the couch or lying down on her bed inside. And then as you can see, the daughter does not look like she's 25 years old, but she had some physical and mental disabilities. And so trying to communicate with them was a little bit difficult, but we used a lot of nonverbals. And Karen had brought some clay along, so we would go in and try to make little dogs or little cats or something like that. And of course, our talent wasn't that good, so they laughed a lot. And so we shared a lot of laughter, which was wonderful. And then this was the son, the teenage son, working alongside my husband, Mark. So the father and the son were out with us every day, working very, very hard. And so there was a communication building process just by building alongside each other. This man, we didn't know at the time, was a family member. He wore some green slacks, and so we called him Mr. Green Jeans. So when we would show up in the morning, we'd say, "Good morning, Mr. Green Jeans," and he would smile and say something back to us, and he had no idea what we were calling him, and who knows what he was saying to us, but it was always very pleasant. And Jim's going to talk a little bit about him. But on the last day, we did a dedication, and the Habitat Vietnam staff had taken a nice photo of us that they framed, and we presented that to the family. And one thing that we noticed about their homes was that there's an altar when you walk into any Vietnamese family's home, and it's an altar to their ancestors. They very much appreciate the people in their families who've come before them. And so they have the altar there, but they also have on their walls, at least the families that we met, certificates for their involvement in the war many years ago. So now in their home, this particular family, the Nguyen family, is going to have not only their certificate there, but they're going to have a picture of us as well. And it's just a really beautiful testimony to how Habitat is a tool for building peace, because they're going to, once we were enemies, and now we are like family, since we helped build alongside their house with them. So next, Ken's going to talk about building the home.
So Jerry kind of glossed over where we were and how far away that was. That's about 8,000 miles from Fort Collins. And it was three plane rides to Seattle, one to Taiwan, and then from Taiwan into Hanoi. But probably the most challenging part was the part from Hanoi down to the village where we actually worked and did this project. Erica did a magnificent job of coordinating all of the logistics that were involved in getting this team from Fort Collins, Colorado, all the way to the job site. So the leadership that Jerry and Erica provided really helped make this successful. The third person that was really in the team that led the group was a gentleman by the name Mr. Nam. Mr. Nam is what we would call a job superintendent, and he is the Chad, which we have working on our project, but he's the one that really keeps the crew productive and makes sure that the materials are there and all the things that are needed for the project are there in place. And we may not have been his best team, but I can guarantee you we challenged the oldest team. So Nam was really good at laying things out, and this is the start of the foundation. The foundation was three bricks across. We built that up about 2 feet where they put a rebar frame that goes inside and went the entire perimeter of the foundation, so that at the end, the foundation looks like this, and all those piles of dirt that you saw were then shoveled and smoothed out, and I'm happy to report that the dirt in Vietnam weighs the same as it does in Fort Collins, Colorado. So getting this to this level, the other thing that I would just point out is there's no stub ends for plumbing. These houses do not have any indoor plumbing at all. Everything is outside. So then we began building the wall, and the bricks came, and the mortar came, and again, to Nam's credit, we never ran out of materials. There was really very little downtime that the crew wasn't actually working when we were supposed to be working. So everybody got their turn on the wall, got to lay some bricks. And that is, by the way, what skilled workers do. And so we became skilled workers. I've always wanted to be one of those. Everybody took their turn. But one of the things that happens is nothing slows down productivity like a pig on the job site. And I think in 45 years of working with contractors, this is the first pig I've seen on a job site. he happened to be on the way to the restroom, so everybody would go by, and of course, Karen started feeding him, so then he was really paying attention to who was coming. More brick building, more wall building, and here we are at the turnover. We built it to about 8 feet. I think it was probably about 60% complete. From here, the roof will be installed, the stucco applied, the windows and doors installed, and they'd also pour the floor. And so that's about as far as we were able to get. This is a turnover meeting, and Nam is the one that I've got my arm around. He really did an excellent job keeping us busy and productive and making sure that we got to the level we did. And here's the family in the finished product. Now Jim's going to talk about building community relationships.
Xin Chào. A remarkable part of our time in Vietnam was interacting with our Habitat family and the local community. We met the Habitat Vietnam staff, and then we were welcomed by the local authorities, the commune leaders, and then the Red Cross. Once we were on site, we met our Habitat family and other Habitat staff that we would be working with. As Ken mentioned, our construction manager, Mr. Nam, he trained and directed us over the 2 weeks. We made a very positive connection with him, slowly learning about him and his family. A lady from the village brought us bananas, sat down and talked and listened to us, and she returned several times to sit and watch and talk. A group of young boys came by several times with their soccer ball and said hi, I think practicing their English and kicking the soccer ball with us. Mark was our main man there. Each day we had lunch at a local restaurant, and we did our daily devotions there in their patio area. And amazingly, the owners and staff would come and sit with us and listen, and not knowing if they understood what we were saying, but I do believe they were sharing in our devotions. This is Mr. Green Jeans that Erica alluded to, and we didn't know his name, but he worked with us every day. And at the home dedication, we found out that he was a brother-in-law of our Habitat family, and he had actually co-signed so they could qualify for the home. So what a remarkable blessing. Another lady from the village stopped several times asking us what we were doing, where we were from, then asked us to invited us to her home to have tea. One day after lunch, we did that, and she shared family photos and that she was in the Army for the North during the American War and had worked on repairing the path. We asked her about the war, but she was quick to say that that was in the past and she had moved on. I thought that was a powerful statement on forgiveness. On our way back to the build site, we passed this elderly gentleman carrying a young child, and our Habitat leader spoke with him, interpreted. He was 92 years old and had spent 3 years in a POW camp in the South. He wanted to just sit and talk with us, wishing we could understand what he was sharing. There was Happy Lady. This lady worked with us almost every day, helping move brick, passing buckets of mortar, sweeping and cleaning, and talking and singing the whole time. And we guess she was probably in her early 80s. This is Mr. Smiley, we called him. He was always smiling, very prompt with materials. He too invited us to his home, but we never had time to visit. Then one day after lunch, we did visit a completed Habitat home in a nearby village. The lady was very gracious. She opened her home to us and invited us in, gave us a tour, and offering tea, but we had to decline. A local poet group came and visited and had written a poem for us. They read the poem and presented it to us, and the translation is, "Where do they all go from here? A desire to serve Christ. They're all quite sincere. They depart their separate ways to come back together in future days to share a message of generosity, love, and hope they hold dear." And Melanie is going to talk now about team relations.
Okay. Got to do this right. Okay. So our team relationships, our immediate team consisted of those of us who were on the mission and those who supported and helped us while we were there. We made friends with our Habitat Vietnam liaisons who became so important as translators. Min is on the left, Nha is in the middle, and Ton is on the right. And they worked with us the first week, and we became really fast friends with Min and Ton. Karen Wolf and Ton became such friends that he asked her to be his grandmother, as his had passed away, and they now communicate weekly. Helping us with everything from meal orders to community visits, Min became our dear friend. Erica and Mark and then Jerry and I visited her in Ho Chi Minh City at the end of the trip before returning to the U.S. She showed us the Habitat Vietnam office, then spent an evening with us at dinner and showing us the back alleys of near our hotel in Saigon. That is her with a moth on her shoulder that stayed there about 10 minutes. Nam, our project manager, who you've heard about already, not only knows how to build a home and stay clean while doing it, but he ties a really mean ribbon. He did a good job on that ceremony. Prior to leaving the U.S., Erica began building our team with her periodic meetings, focusing on helping without hurting. It's easy to show up somewhere and try to give our experience and perspective on how to do a project. It's harder to show up and just follow instructions. It was good discipline. The Vietnam team has built many homes, and their methods work, even if they aren't the same as ours. That said, we were constantly wishing for an automatic mortar mixer. Each day, we rode in the bus from Thai Binh to San Hoa for about 45 minutes each way. It gave us time to reflect and discuss, or to sit quietly and watch the millions of motorbikes. We ate meals together. We worked hard side by side and marveled at the Vietnamese people and culture. We had daily devotions at lunchtime and periodically throughout the trip. The devotions brought us closer to God and Christ, our most important team members. They also brought us closer to each other as each of us revealed ourselves. It was a trip of hard work and of love and laughter. Our shared experience forms a lifelong bond, and we had a couple of days in Hanoi. There is our lunchtime devotion, sorry about that. And in Hanoi, we tried the egg coffee, which seemed a little weird, and some were reluctant to try it, but it was kind of yummy. More seriously, we visited the Ho Chi Minh home and the Hoa Lo prison, also known as the Hanoi Hilton, which is now a museum. It is where the American pilots were imprisoned during the war. We walked the streets of Hanoi, which was our one-time enemy's headquarters, and marveled at what time has done. I have to say it's a miracle to be able to go to a country with which we had such a vicious war during our lifetimes, and we discuss that often. We process the past while living in the present and celebrating our opportunity to serve God through Habitat for Humanity Vietnam. We helped build a home, but more importantly, we built relationships with God, with Christ, with the Vietnamese people, and with each other.
We came away from this adventure with a better understanding and a greater appreciation of the Vietnamese people. We were very much impressed by their warmth, sense of humor, hardworking nature, resourcefulness, and their ability to forgive and move beyond the past. We believe that through our help of a family in Vietnam, that each of us received a valuable gift from this experience, and this rewarding gift has made a huge difference in our lives. We want to do more of this kind of work in the future, and we hope to find ways to do this. We hope that you will consider joining us when we venture out again in 2019 to help our global neighbors. Before closing, we want to express our sincere appreciation to the congregation and to the pastors for your constant encouragement as we set out on this mission of service. We also want to express our deepest appreciation to Thrivent Financial for their monetary assistance in many phases of this trip. With Thrivent's encouragement of living generously, we did so much more to help the Habitat program in Vietnam than we otherwise could have done. Thank you.